Welcome to Absolute Fire. I'm your host, Money Michelle, diving into all things fire, the one inside you, and the flames we use to create some killer food. Everyone has a story to share. This show is to inspire you to keep that flame blazing or to just help set off a much needed spark. Either way, I know you'll find it here. My guest today is a foodie by birth, lawyer by trade, cookbook author, and fellow New Yorker. Danielle Caminiti, welcome to Absolute Fire.
Hi, Michelle. So nice to be here. Thank you.
I know. It's so awesome to finally get to talk to you. I know. On social media. We're social media friends.
I know. Now we have to meet in real life after
we
this.
Do. So you moved and you're now in New York City?
I've been in New York City. I just moved boroughs. I was in Queens and now I'm in Brooklyn.
Okay, gotcha. I have a lot of family that, you know, grew up in Queens, then they moved out, you know, but I used to always visit, and then some in Brooklyn. My great aunt used to live on Ainslie Street. Do you know where that is?
Ainslie in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
I know where that is. It's not near me, but I know where it is.
Okay, yeah. She had like a gorgeous brownstone, and I loved visiting her. I actually have her like vintage piano in my house after she passed. Like, they let me have it.
Aww,
so special,
nice.
Yeah.
Such great historic areas in Brooklyn. So nice.
Yeah. I mean, like, and the food too. I mean, there's nothing like even like if you would just go to like a pizza place. I'm like, this is insane. It's not like Long Island. You know, I'm from Long Island. It's different.
No, so different. I know. It's so different. It really is. The bagels, the pizza, the bread, like you can't touch it.
You really can't.
Even Queens to Brooklyn, I find the difference, you know?
Yeah. It's so true. It is so true. So were you always a foodie? So from birth, right? You always were obsessed with everything food?
From birth, I think. I think in utero, I was a foodie. I was eating my share of chicken parm. I was never picky. I was always like, always food oriented, playing with like Play-Doh, making food shapes and meats out of Play-Doh.
Me too.
And like,
stop
no
it
way.
Now.
I was like, I would play butcher. I pretend I was a butcher. Like, who does this?
Why are we the same? That's actually scary.
I don't know.
I'm not even kidding. And then when I play Play-Doh with my kids, like, you know, they get excited if they get a new Play-Doh set, and I get excited. Everything I make is food. Everything.
Yes. I would like wrap it up in newspaper.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, it was only four colors. There were no like pinks and browns. It was red, yellow, white, and blue.
So funny. Now they have like different like sparkles and textures and yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And I tried to eat it, of course. I'm sure you tried to eat it too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It smells amazing. And they say it has like meat products in it. I think you're allowed to eat it if you wanted to.
It was just very salty. Like,
very salty. Very salty.
The white, I would pretend was like, I would pretend it was like salted mozzarella and eat it.
So freaking funny.
Crazy.
I mean,
kids.
So you're not Sicilian. I am a little teeny bit. Oh, you are a teeny bit. All right. So I'm
That's
Sicilian.
All it takes, right? A little bit.
Yeah, that's all it takes. So you're a Napolitan, right?
Yes, Napolitan and a little bit Sicilian. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My last name is actually Sicilian. So
okay, that's
Caminiti
a good mix.
Is from
that's
Messina. They're from Messina.
Okay, that's a good mix, though. Yes. That's a nice mix. So what is your absolute favorite Italian dish ever?
Besides pizza, you mean?
I know, right? It's your jam.
It's like its own category.
Pizza. It is.
It's like its own food group. So I love making pizza. But besides pizza, I would have to say pasta, of course. The carbs, you know.
Yes, but any particular pasta?
I love pasta, like linguine with crabs, like seafood pasta,
any kind
of seafood pasta. I also love pesto, like fresh garden pesto. I love
it. I want to roll around in pesto. Every day.
I know. I want to bathe in it.
So one of my favorite pizzas to make is a pesto-based pizza. Like,
love
it
that.
Is my favorite. A little bit of lemon zest on it, too. Like, why am I salivating? What is happening? I knew this was going to bad me and you. I knew I should have eaten first. I know.
First.
I only eat a freaking protein shake. I'm dying.
Oh, I had a bar.
Yeah, your pizzas do kill me, especially that I'm trying to be like, I'm on this macros thing and I'm trying to do like lower carbs and stuff, and pizza's just not going to happen right now.
Very difficult. I know. I went to like a medical intuitive and he's like, listen, you have to cut out everything with yeast. I'm like, yeah, right. Okay, that's not happening.
You're like, wait, do you know my last name? What do you mean? That's crazy. All right, so yeah, no, you're not going to be dropping yeast and being
I can't drop yeast.
And Italian
drop-
in any way.
Basically any kind of cow cheese. So that just eliminates pizza right there. So no, that's not happening. It's not happening.
Do you know that's why I don't go to get checked up? Like, I don't want an allergy test. I don't.
No, I know. I know.
Do you want me to tell you something? When I was when I became a mom at 3 months old, my daughter got diagnosed with a dairy sensitivity. So they said, you know, you're nursing her, you're going to have to stop, or you're going to have to put her on a different formula. And I went dairy free for a year. Do you know how hard that was?
Wow. That's commendable. Like, I don't even know.
I have to say, I've never been so proud. Like, it was the hardest thing, but I did it for her, because you know what it's like to try different formulas. And I'm like, I'm not going through that. I'm just going to go dairy free. I could do this. But that's when I started getting in the kitchen and creating recipes, because I was starving. I'm like, I need my foods that I love. And so I was doing like the plant-based cheeses. Like, I was doing the dairy free butter and like anything I could do, because it was the hardest thing. I'm telling you, dairy's in freaking everything. You name it, it's in there.
It is. It is. And I'm sure, like, if it, but for your daughter, you probably would have never done that. Like, it's impossible. No.
Did I tell you the second baby had the same thing and I did it again?
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
So one was like 11 months.
How did you feel doing it? Did you feel better?
I have to say, yes. So I'm going to, you know, dairy's 100% an inflammatory type thing for us.
Oh, yeah.
It's a given. Yeah, but I don't care. So I felt amazing. I was probably in like crazy good shape. Didn't have any bloating. I was digesting awesome. It was definitely good. But I mean, I feel like everything in moderation. That's it. And as a foodie, that's tough. Yeah,
it's definitely. Just what you gotta do. I feel better when I don't eat it. I feel better. Well, I'll have like a lactate pill before, because it just helps me like digest it, like the enzyme. But other than that, like, I try to do everything in moderation, like you said, because you can't deprive yourself. Yeah.
No.
Otherwise, you go crazy, and then you overindulge. You end up overindulging.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, what's your favorite part about like the holidays? Like, do you do sauce on Christmas?
Everything. We do sauce. Well, we do like seafood sauce on Christmas Eve. Like, we do a crab sauce. So it's red. And then Christmas Day, of course, the lasagna and the ham and everything else. So it's we do sauce.
So growing
back
up,
to back sauce.
So my dad was Jewish. He passed away, but so he always celebrated everything we did. Yeah, it's been so long, and it feels like yesterday. Like, that never changes, ever. Especially holiday time. Like, his favorite was Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's always bittersweet for me, big time.
Of course.
So he was a huge foodie. So my dad was the foodie, my mom was the cook, like, huge. So my mom always did all the fish Christmas Eve, you know, and I swear the only thing I don't eat is calamari. Like, I do not like calamari, for anyone who didn't know what I was just saying. I don't eat calamari. Do you?
Really? Like, of course. Legs only. Like, I love the legs.
And everyone usually loves the rings. I can't believe you love the legs.
I'm a weirdo. I love the legs. There's a place in Long Island that does legs only. You probably know it. Umberto's?
Yes, I do.
So you can order legs only.
Well, good, because I don't want
them. It's so good.
I don't want any legs. I don't want any tentacles.
Give me all of it.
You're calling them the legs. I call them tentacles. Like, I don't want the tentacles. I don't want any of it at all. I don't want the rubber bands. Like, that's what it is to me. So my mom would make all that, like, tons, and I did not appreciate it. As a foodie, I still didn't appreciate all that. I was like, yeah, no. I liked, you know, some flounder reginata and everything else that she made. But then once my dad got sick, like, he got worse with cancer, she stopped doing that. And then we would just, like, run out to, like, Red Lobster, which was so not Italian type, you know, Christmas
Eve. Right.
But that's what we would do just to make it easier.
Right.
So now she doesn't. So now I usually do all seafood, like, Christmas Eve. And I'll make, like, homemade crab cakes and, like, things that I love, you know. It's
love
not going to be
crab cakes.
Tentacles or anything. But, and then Christmas Day, she always hosts. And it's all sauce. And you call it sauce, right? Not gravy?
I call it sauce, but I have to admit, growing up, if on Sunday, if there was meat in it, my grandmother, we would call it gravy. I don't know. We would call it gravy.
I don't know what to say.
I don't want
to
start a controversy, but
I know.
I think
it's so hard for me to understand, I guess.
I know. You know what it was? I think it's because there's meat in it, and it's thick. So
my mom's sauce is thick, yes.
Right. So I've come to the conclusion that if it goes through the fork, it's sauce. If it doesn't go through the fork, it's gravy. If there's meat in it, it's gravy. Like, everybody's like, oh, meat gravy is brown. But yes, this gravy is brown because it has meat in it. So I think that's where it came from. It's totally an Italian-American thing. And it's like, where are you from? Like, I think South Philly, they say gravy. It really depends. Like, the Italians from Italy say sauce. You know, so, I mean, I go both ways. I say it both ways, so.
Yeah, and I think it's also just how you were raised. My mom always said sauce, so I say sauce. But my mom's family members, you know, who are super close with her, raise their kids, and they all my cousins, like, fight with me. It's gravy. I'm like, it's not, but okay. You know,
I mean, think I refer to it both ways. Sunday sauce, Sunday gravy, you know.
All right, it's good. It's good that you explained that to me, so I feel a little less
I'm an equal opportunity foodie, yeah. I don't judge.
Yeah, all right, good. So you are still a lawyer?
I am, unfortunately. No, not how unfortunately,
you,
but...
How do you balance that? So you are, you know, on social media.
The scales of justice. I'm on social media, and how this all came about was COVID. So I started my food account because of COVID. Like, the courts basically shut down March of 2020.
Wow, okay.
We were all home. My son was home, you know, on the computer doing remote learning.
My kids were too.
And we were all like, what's going on? We thought it was 2 weeks and then done, you know, flatten the curve, we'll be back to court. All my colleagues were like, see you in 2 weeks. And then, you know, 2 weeks turned into 2 months, turned into 2 years. We weren't back. We just recently kind of started going back. But now it's this hybrid model where it's virtual and it's in person. So I'm able to kind of do both. Like, I was handling like 20, 30 appearances a day. So people don't really know like what I do. So I farm out court appearances to there's 62 counties in New York, and New York City is the busiest, the five boroughs, you know, Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, Staten Island, and the Bronx have the most. So, you know, solo practitioners and lawyers, they can't be in five places at once. So they would contract out to me and my like network of attorneys who I've like formed relationships with, like competent, reliable attorneys. Okay. So they're covering for me. So I'm kind of like dispatching people all over in addition to covering my own cases. So it's a lot of networking and it's a lot of juggling. And now that 20 to 30 cases definitely decreased, but now it's coupled with, virtual depositions, virtual court appearances. Yes. So it makes it even more complicated because one attorney can't be like virtually doing a conference and then in court the same morning. It's like a lot to handle. It's like staggered. So I'm still in business. I'm still doing my thing. And it keeps it interesting because I can cook, I can do my virtual thing. I can cover cases in court. I'm like, I need to be busy. Like, if I have an idle mind, it's very dangerous. So I'm very like type A. So I relish the time in the kitchen, and I do relish the time being out and like, and with colleagues and stuff like that. So it's a nice blend.
Your name on Instagram is Have You Covered in the Kitchen, right?
Yes. Yes.
Basically, you're covering everyone in the courtroom as well.
Yes. So I Have You Covered was my initial corporation. Have You Covered LLC. So that's how it started.
Well, that was my law practice. You have basically calamari arms everywhere.
I have my tentacles in everything. It's true.
That's
what my dad says. He's like, you're like an octopus.
That's so funny that I said that, except we use disgusting calamari as that example. All right. So I love that. So you're staying busy. So what do you love better? Do you love the food world better or your courtroom?
I love both. And the thing is, like, there's so many creative people on Instagram, like that I would have, like yourself, that I would have never met for the pandemic. Like, where would I ever come across all these different personalities in these different industries? It's not just cooking. It's like, it's everything. It's people knitting pocketbooks, people making jewelry. Like, there's so many different things that like my world was so much smaller before COVID. And so that's the one like silver lining that came out of this whole thing is like the amount of people that you meet, the types of people you meet, the connections that you make. And so I love doing both. But I also love connecting people. Like, it's so nice to introduce like a lawyer friend to somebody who's, you know, making jewelry or, you know, it's just like connecting everybody.
I agree.
I really like it stuff.
The networking part. And I'm like a social butterfly. So, you know, we're not, like you said, you're not in the courtroom as much anymore like it used to be. I don't go to a 9-to-5 and get to go see some, you know, coworkers. Before COVID, I actually bartended on Friday nights. I was like a bartender server. It was so much fun. Like, never did I think at that age that I would be like out there doing that. And I loved the girls that I worked with. The owner was freaking awesome. And it was so much fun to get out there. And like, there was a lot of regulars. They called it like a bar that was like Cheers, where everyone knew everyone's name.
Right.
That came in.
I'm sure you became like a pseudo therapist too.
Absolutely. You have to literally listen and talk.
Yes.
But like, the tables that I would take too were like the same families every week or the same people. And they would be like, hey, how's everything? And like, you get to know them. I love people. And if I can't feed everybody physically in person, like I love sharing my recipes and like people giving feedback on it. Like that's like joy for me.
It's so true. Huge. It's like the ultimate act of love. Like if you can't actually have them over, you're giving them the tools to either empower themselves and do it, because a lot of people have fears. They think that they can't cook. And I'm like, it's so easy if you just try it. Like just try it. They have like my friends, some of them have like a mental block. Like I can't cook. Yes. I can't make it like you. And I'm like, just try it. It's not like rocket science. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I agree.
You can do it.
People think that, I think more so even for baking. Like I put cookies today and someone was like, I don't bake. They're my favorite. And why are they called Italian wedding cookies? Because I think that's funny. I cut it out that I was like, I guess because every Italian wedding, there's cookies. I don't know.
And but they're also similar to the Mexican cookies. And there's like every culture has their own like version of them.
They're my delicious. Favorite.
They are. So they're good. So good. I'm coming over. I said, put up the coffee.
I have four left if you want to come over. Like, I'm like, do not eat them. You had freaking four yesterday. You're done. It's so hard.
It's dangerous for me to bake. Dangerous.
It's so dangerous. So zeppelis are my favorite. My mom makes homemade zeppelis from scratch with ricotta. She makes them every New Year's Eve.
Yes, New Year's Eve. We love zeppelis. I love making zeppelis. I just made the pistachio ones the other day.
Insane. So, like, do you start yours from ricotta too?
No ricotta in mine. No. Yeah. But people do. People do.
My mom's do. And they're totally different from like regular zeppelis. I love both. But hers are just so good. These spongy, airy, and I gotta have them hot. She likes to eat them cold the next day. I'm not about that.
No, I feel like I have to burn myself when I eat them. Like they have to be literally out of the oil. Yes. Does she put raisins in them? Some people put raisins.
She doesn't. And okay. I'm not a raisins fan, so I'm glad.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
I never have them with raisins.
I think the pistachio idea that you had was phenomenal. I love pistachio.
So good. Me too. I could live on pistachio.
Like,
I
give
love
me some
it.
Baklava and I'm having a hard time. Like, I really like baklava a lot.
I know. Me too. I made a pistachio one not too long ago. It was lethal. I can't have it in the house. I cannot have it in the house.
I know. But I made healthier baklava. So I made it with like a shortbread crust that was almond flour. And then the top was like, kind of like how you would do like pecan pie, but with pistachios. And it was all like coconut sugar, not like, you know, refined sugar. And they were so damn good. I was bringing them to the beach. Who am I?
That sounds great.
They were so good. You have to try it. They were so good. And at least they had healthier options. Like it wasn't like, you know, just flour.
Butter and of course. Yeah. Of course.
It was really good.
It is.
All right. So you're doing the courtroom still. You have your cooking, you know, journey on Instagram. How did you start the cookbook?
Oh, the cookbook. So that was like literally like reinventing the wheel. So I self-published and it was very difficult. The most difficult part was kind of having the discipline every day to just buckle down and say, I need to do this, as opposed to getting distracted with my son, getting distracted with work, or just, you know, socializing, watching TV, whatever.
And I heard it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And I kind of work backwards in that, like, I had made the foods and my family and friends, like, you really need to include this in a cookbook. This is delicious. This needs to be in a compilation. So I worked backwards in that I didn't think of what to do and then do it. I did it. And then I was like, okay, how did I do this? And then I wrote down the steps, because as you know, in Italian American households, things are not written down. Like usually
the recipes
are never written down. And it's always like one grandmother made it this way. One grandmother made it that way. Who's Sicilian? Who's Napolitan? Who's, you know, putting this in? And so it was like, I needed to kind of remember my grandparents all passed away. So I don't have them here to say like, how did you make this? How did you make that? And then it's all like my mom just trying to recreate what they did. And so I don't know if it's exactly how they did it, but it's kind of close and it tastes good. So a lot of it was family recipes that were like passed down, like the struffoli or, you know, pizzella mix, just different things. So the Sunday sauce, but a lot of them were new things, like things that my grandparents never made, because they really just made Italian food. They weren't making lamb burgers. They weren't making, you know, different kinds of chicken wings.
So it's that's so different like now. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like nowadays, if they had like their set of, you know, things that they made and they ate regularly, but it wasn't like nowadays where you have options in every cuisine possible. So yeah, I think I wanted to make it like Italian American, but also focus on some other things. So I self-published. It was a lot of work. It took me a lot of time, but I did all the pictures myself, all the food styling myself. So it was really, it's kind of like a recipe book, and it really documented my journey over COVID. And it's almost like a motivation guide too, for anybody who's feeling like, oh my God, everything is done. The world is ending. Like it was just kind of the way I empowered myself during that crazy time.
Yeah, no, I love that. I definitely want to get my hands on a copy, because I feel like I really love your recipes that you post. I'm like, oh yeah,
thank you.
That sauce looks yours. Amazing. Thank you. They're just very creative. And when I see you post, like, you know, it seems like you whip up sauces a lot. Like you really you're cooking a lot. Do you cook like every day?
Not necessarily every day. I mean, I have my mom, she sends food over. We love to take out too, because I love sushi. Yeah. I love, you know, different kinds of cuisine. I love Mexican food.
So. What's your number one besides Italian?
I would say Japanese and Mexican.
Mine's Mexican. We should meet for Mexican.
We should. I love pasito.
Because it's so classic. It's real authentic. It's very good.
Yeah. And I love the vibe in there. And the cocktails are good too. Yeah.
Which one do you do? Huntington?
Roslyn.
Oh, Roslyn.
I've never been to the Huntington one. Oh no, I have been to the Huntington one. It's small.
Yeah, the Huntington one's nice. It's smaller.
Right?
It is, definitely. Yeah. I've been out to Roslyn. My cousin's always like, that's our like kind of like meeting point. There's a good Greek place out there. What is it called?
Kaimani?
Kaima?
Oh, Kima. Okay, yeah. I'm saying it wrong.
What do I say right? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's
so
Kima.
So good.
Maybe I'm saying it wrong. But yeah, it's delicious there. It's delicious. I love it there, so we should definitely meet
and do that. But yeah, so Greek's awesome, but Mexican is my number one. That's why I try to make like any type of taco on earth, like with any meat I can think of, and just different concoctions. It's weird. I'm this Sicilian who's obsessed with Mexican flavors.
No, I really think that I am Mexican, because I love the food so much.
Yeah.
I know.
Me too.
I know. I love like anything spicy too. I love the spice. Like I love hot stuff. So hot peppers, jalapenos.
Yeah, I do love jalapenos, but I'm not a super, super spicy Sicilian. It's weird. Like I'm not. I mean, like I'm going to make a new wing recipe. I'm not going to say what it is, but I'm excited. And I'm going to give it a little kick. It has an Italian flair, and I'm going to give it a little kick. But usually I'm not that spicy. But when I collab with Tone, TFTI Barbecue, he's the spicy one. He's the spicy one.
I love that.
Yeah. So he always brings the heat. It's my favorite. He's one of my closest friends that I met on here. And he always brings the heat in, and I'm always bringing in, you know, some flavor. It's funny.
Yeah, no, I definitely have a condition. Like I sign waivers to try hot stuff. Like I am obsessed with hot. I am. It doesn't affect me. I think it must be good in some way for the metabolism. I heard it is anyway.
I think so too.
I'm like,
bring
it on. I need all the help I can get in that area.
Yeah, please, me too. Are you still doing the olive oil thing?
Oh, the tablespoon a day?
Yeah.
I am. I tapered off a little bit because I forget and whatever.
Of course,
I need to leave it by the coffee. I need to leave it by the coffee maker. So
I'm a celery juice every morning, girl. You do olive oil.
I was doing that in the juicer, but it's so much work because I was trying to do it. Do you make it?
I order from Whole Foods every week enough celery for the week. No.
Okay.
Celery. So the heads of organic celery. And I make it every single morning. It really takes like max 10 minutes, max.
You know, I was doing it and bottling it like for the week. But then I make it fresh every morning. You're supposed to do it within 24 hours. Otherwise, it doesn't have the benefits.
Yeah,
right.
Fresh is best.
So I was like,
it's a lot of work. I'm over 4 years, okay? I was away for a while. I can't say why yet. But I was away for a while and I literally got a juicer from my hotel room. I was gone for like almost a month and I had celery from Walmart. Okay. And I made sure to keep doing it while I was gone. Like it's that big a deal.
That's hysterical. Is it just celery you do, or you put ginger or lemon or anything?
Straight up celery. I got this actually from the medical medium. He's on Instagram.
Me too.
You do.
Yes, I follow him too.
Yeah, he's incredible. I truly think he's incredible. Can I listen to him and do dairy-free, gluten-free, and everything he says, and egg-free? No, I really like eggs lately.
No, I can't do that. No, I can't.
But I do believe 1,000,000% that celery juice does detox the liver and help you digest like a boss. Like, it has been a game changer. I was going to the doctor. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Like, check me. Like, give me a sonogram. Like, my stomach was always bloated and I wasn't digesting good. Celery is gold. I will say
it. I always felt better when I did that. In the beginning of the pandemic, I was doing it like clockwork. Religiously, I was doing the celery juice, and then I was making all kinds. What started my food journey was I was making these smoothies, and every one of them, I was like, they were immune boosters. Yes. And I would name them after like the Rocky characters. There was the Adrian, there was the Pauly, and I felt like, okay. And then I went from that and the celery into food. And then I stopped the celery, but I did bring my juicer in the move. I have to unpack it still.
Yes,
but I'm definitely, that's my like New Year's resolution. Even though I don't like making New Year's resolutions, I definitely need to juice more.
Neither do I.
And then just like, and just buckle down and clean it. I didn't like cleaning all the parts.
Okay,
to it.
So maybe get the one that I have. So I got mine on Amazon. Okay, that's a little bit more complicated. So mine is a slow juicer. I don't know if yours is. There's a slow macerating juicer, and then there's like an annoying one. A centrifugal. Why do I know this? I don't know. So mine, you literally take the front off, pull out the filter, you know, the great screen, whatever it is.
Right.
And I use the spray, the spray thing that you clean your pots with from the hose. Blows it right out, like gets all the junk out, boom, done. Takes me
really
2 minutes.
Because I kind of like started to skeeve it after a while because the screen would get like all like green, and I put in the dishwasher and I felt like it was never clean enough.
If you use the hose, you know, the powerful spray hose on your sink,
right.
And you just, you know, pull, like I'm giving you guys tips right now on how to clean your juicer. So if you want to just keep listening. So I'm not even kidding. It takes me 2 minutes and I just spray every single side. Then I do a little soap on it. It literally takes me 2 minutes.
All right. I'm juicing. Come January 1st, I'm juicing.
Awesome. I got someone back on the celery train.
I need to get back on the celery train. Medical Medium book. It's like huge.
So do I. I have a few celery, of them.
Yeah. The celery part, I really like. A friend of mine was like, you need to do this. And I did. And I felt so much like better, so less bloated.
Amazing.
And,
I drink it before I work out. It's like my pre-workout. I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
Can you tell?
But your body's used to it now. Like in the beginning, weren't you like running to the bathroom?
Everyone says that. So if you run to the bathroom in the beginning, that means that your liver's a little overtaxed. Okay.
You think?
I would say maybe the first week was a little tough. And then after that, I was gold.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I tried to get my mom on it. She's like, no, I can't do it. I tried to get my sister on it, but I have started a few people recently on it. It makes me happy. I'm like, all right. The celery.
Yeah, you know, you need to do it every day fresh. That's the key.
Yeah, that is the key. All right, so holidays are coming. You prepared? Are you the host?
I am the host. Christmas Eve, I'm hosting.
Can you save me some food? You should save me some food and then.
Yes, all the tentacles. You're getting all the tentacles.
No, I don't want your tentacles. I don't want your legs. I don't want any of your legs. Keep the legs. What else can you save me? Because it looks so good.
I'll save you some baked clams. You like baked clams?
Yes.
Okay, absolutely. I can save you some. You like linguine with crabs?
Yes. I haven't had that in forever.
Will you get down and dirty with the crabs?
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
I will save you some frutta di mare, like seafood salad, minus the tentacles and the calamari.
That's why I'm not sure. All right,
So you'll have the shrimp, you'll have the mussels, you'll have everything else in there.
I'm sorry, I don't know who I am, but I don't like mussels either. It's just mussels.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Mussels to me are dirty. I like clams and that's it. I don't know
why.
Those
are the best.
Little neck clams are my favorite. I'll even take a steamer with the tail and everything.
Yeah,
but
I love steamers.
But I don't like mussels at all. I love steamers.
Oh my God, I love mussels. I love going to Waterzooi. I'm sure you know it, in Garden City.
I've never been there, and I've wanted to go.
Really?
Let's meet there. Let's
like
do
yourself.
That one.
I know. We should go there.
My cousins told me how good it was.
The pots of mussels are so good, and the fries. Oh, my God. Now I'm craving that. I want that for lunch.
Yeah, I feel like we are really good together when it comes to food, besides your tentacles. Other than that.
Good. Yeah, I think we would definitely have a good meal. We would share a good meal together, for
sure. All right, so hard questions. Do you ever have days where you don't feel like creating, that you know, you feel like this is hard, the balance, it's not fun? What do you do for that?
Yes, and there are days that just – my schedule is just too busy and it's just too much of a burden to kind of like, okay, I need to make something now. And it's not even a making something. It's like, that's nothing. It's like the filming of it and the production and the editing and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, people don't realize what goes into what we do. Like they the prep work.
Yeah.
They think it's just easy and because it looks easy, but the prep work, what your kitchen looks like afterwards, you know, everything. And it's just like from the beginning to the end, it's a very long process. And sometimes I'm just not up for it. And, you know, especially with regular people like ourselves, like I don't have a crew. I don't have a sous chef. I don't have somebody to clean up after me. So when you're a one person show, it's like you're exhausted being a mom and doing everything. And so those days I just try to tell myself, you know what? I wasn't doing any of this like 2 years ago. So I could easily go back to being like that. But I want to take from it the fun parts. You know, I like to make it fun. So when it's not fun anymore, that's when I just have to stop and say, I'm forcing it. And then it's going to come through. Like it's going to come through as it's forced. And people
is so true. We've said that on other episodes. I can't remember who I spoke to, but that's the truth. If you're not feeling it, or like, even if I put something out that I didn't feel 100% on, it never does as good because people can feel it. I know it.
And it's just not something
you're like fully proud of. But you do put out a lot. I'm like, wow, she cooks a lot. Like you put out a lot of recipes.
Thank you.
You're really consistent.
I'm
a little less consistent sometimes.
No, but you have a lot of recipes too. Like all your wings, like all your wing variations are amazing.
Because I think that I would really like to just sit home and create sauces for the rest of my life. Like, I think that's my favorite thing to do, right? And so growing up, my dad was a sauce guy, and that's why I'm like this. I've said this, I think, 10 times. He would literally order any sauce on the menu and want to dip in every single one, and that's me. So if anywhere we go, I'm like, that's just what I want to do. So when I think of sauces for wings, it's my favorite thing. All right, so this was so much fun for me because you're like a foodie just like my heart, so I loved this.
This is amazing. I love this podcast and congratulations with it. I think it's awesome that you're like inspiring people in all industries. It's all about the inspiration that we bring every day.
Yeah, I feel like everyone has their own journey and their own story to share. And I love to be the one to be able to have this platform to put it out there. It seems to be doing its job, inspiring everybody. I've gotten so much incredible feedback and that means the world. That makes me happy.
It's great.
All right. So it's the way that I end each episode is with a little something called Under Fire. It's three questions, and you can only answer each question with one word. Now, if you get stumped, it's okay. There's been many people that have not been able to do this correctly, or they're perfectionists and they nail it. That's what I figured out by now. So it's either you're going to nail it or you're not, and I'm here for any of it. You ready?
All right. Almost like Family Feud lightning round.
It really makes me excited because I liked that part too.
Okay, let's do it.
I love it. Number one, the most difficult time in your life. One word, the most difficult time in your life.
Divorce. All right.
Absolutely. Number two, the weirdest thing you've ever eaten.
Alligator.
Okay, gross. All right, tentacle alligator. I mean, like, I get it. My barbecue friends would be like, Michelle, calm down. Like, I get it. A lot of people want to do that. I just don't want to do that. And I don't know why you did, but okay. Number three, one quality no one would guess just by looking at you that you possess.
Shy.
No.
Yes. I was so shy growing up, and there's still part of me that's very, very shy. Like I was the kid in class that never raised their hand. Like my teachers I would know all the answers. I would get like good grades, but they would always tell my mom, like, she doesn't participate in group activities. She's so shy. Like
okay.
She knows the answer.
I'm gonna tell you that I'm super shocked, and I love that you shared that. I'm super shocked. I actually was not. I was Michelle demonstrates no self-control. She is a social butterfly and she does not shut up. That's really what was
really
me.
Well, yes. I think it's birth order. Are you oldest, youngest, only child?
I'm the youngest of four.
Oh, you're the youngest. See, I'm the youngest of two, and my sister always spoke for me, and I think that's the reason why.
Yeah, no, was so my
shy.
Brother tortured me. My sister, she is 2 years old, a little bit less than 2 years older than me. We're super, super close, and we were just like tag team. Like we both were just as vocal, just as funny. Like
right.
It's so funny. Yeah. So We are the total opposite, but you're not shy now.
No, no. My mother's like, now, like, you can't, now you don't shut up.
Yeah. All right. Good, good.
Now you can't stop me from talking. I'm a cacion, as they say.
We're going to definitely make a date. We need to decide if we're going to do Mexican or if we're going to do the
Carbone. I thought we were going to Carbone.
Can we get in? Like, seriously, can we get in?
I know. Maybe 2024, I'll meet you
for real. My cousin is the one that got us in literally overnight. And I have to say that even the damn bread basket was so amazing. Oh. I was like, is this really happening?
You're not doing no dairy that night. You have to do dairy that night.
Yes, of course. But okay.
So we'll go
The rigatoni, that's what it was, right? With the spicy.
The spicy rigatoni. That was awesome. The pork chop was amazing too.
We have to go.
But we'll go to Mexican before then. We'll go to Mexican before then.
I just feel like Mario should just want us to get in there anyway.
I know. Two foodies.
I mean, seriously.
Exactly.
I'm trying to think,
not that he needs promotion, but
I know. No, because you can't even get in, so he doesn't need promotion. Right. But no. It was honestly one of my top 10 favorites in my life. Maybe even top five. Okay.
But the vibe too, totally the music, I was the vibe, everything.
The music.
We said we're gonna sleep there and camp out.
The music was amazing. The bread basket blew me away. These tortellini pillows were like, I can't even with ragu.
They had a tagliatelle with truffles, which I regret that I didn't get. I wanted that was like a special or whatever.
There were so many things that I was needing to get, but he placed the order and he just ordered like a bunch of stuff off the menu. And I gotta say, the only thing that I was a little picky over, I'm gonna say it, the meatballs. That's it. That's the only thing.
I didn't have the meatballs.
Yeah, because you know what? I don't order meatballs anywhere.
No, I don't usually order them out either. No, because you make them with your hands. My Nana always was like, never order them out. It's like cardinal.
Also, other people's meatballs are not going to be like your meatballs or my mom's meatballs.
No,
so I'm like, I'm not going
to. Exactly.
But he did, and he gave me a meatball, and I was like, it's all right.
Okay, I never had them there.
Yeah, don't. I'm a little picky on the meatballs. Right. That's it. So I loved this. I think you're so awesome. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. I think you're awesome too.
Thank you. You have a really wonderful vibe about you. You always seem to be super pleasant, super happy. And I love that. So I'm really glad that you were here and got to share your story on Absolute Fire.
One question before we wrap up. How many R's did we leave out of this conversation?
Probably every single one, right? I mean, that's it, right? That's us in New York. Like, no one says dollar. You have a dollar? No R's. Yeah, there's no R's.
No, we left every R out, I think, probably in creation.
Every single one.
So,
I mean, people keep giving it to me for regatta. Like, I don't know any other way to say it. Like, that's just how I've said it my whole life. And everyone just keeps talking about
regatta?
It. I get messages
regatta.
Ricotta, but there's no ricotta. Yeah. Ricotta. I can't say. Oh, can I have
no,
some ricotta?
No. Absolutely not. No,
can't
no.
Do it.
One question: Would you eat bacala? Do you eat bacala or no? Did you make it on Christmas Eve? Okay.
No.
We make it Christmas Eve, and it's very, very an acquired taste, I guess. I'm not really into it, but my family is obsessed with it. So I was just wondering.
I feel like you like a lot of classic things, and I feel like I'm a Sicilian with a twist. Absolutely. Even my mom's like, how do you not eat this or how do you not eat that? I think I have a little bit of my dad, where my dad was, a big foodie, but he just liked what he liked, and that's me. And I'm a creature of habit. Like, I will eat something until the wheels fall off. Like, I can eat the same thing for lunch every day.
Wings all day, every day.
No, and now with this whole new macros thing, I can't be eating wings all day. I'm weighing my wings, all right? And then I'm doing how many bite shots to get it right, and I'm eating so many wings. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
The bloopers. We should just make an episode of bloopers.
For real.
Totally.
And I love that people love them because I love them too. But there's always so many bloopers in my life.
Oh my God. It's like nobody understands what goes on in the back office and how things work.
You know how many times you're trying to film something?
There's a dog barking, you're like cursing at the dog next door.
I'm not even kidding. One of my bloopers, my dog was choking. And I go, my dog, he's choking. God. Like, what is happening? Like, it's always something. My kid sneezes. Like, everything's quiet. There's a sneeze, a choke, a cough. I'm like, forget it.
Right?
This is why I don't talk in the video.
I know.
So the video that I posted today, I was like, guys, I'm just going to be talking in the video if everyone could be quiet. And then I have to like stop it, delete it, because it's just, it's craziness.
Right.
It
is. And then that's a cue for everybody to like break your chops and be extra loud all the time.
And then they're like, can we have a cookie? Can we have a cookie? I'm like, I didn't even do the bite shot yet. Give me one sec. So funny. All right. So we will meet soon. It was so awesome to have you.
We definitely will. It was so awesome to be here. I'm wishing you luck with the podcast. I know I'll see you on the gram, and I'm glad that we're going to meet in person. I'm excited.
Me too. Thanks so much, Danielle.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, guys, that's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show and are leaving with a full tank of fuel. Thanks so much for listening and tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe and share if you loved Absolute Fire. I appreciate it. If you want to leave a review, that would be awesome as well. Sending love. If you want to find me on Instagram, Absolute Fire Podcast. See you next week.